it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Each other. 9:37, and let's get to our call board where Mikey is waiting for us. Mikey, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Ian. Hey, look, that was an intriguing chat towards the end there about sports journalism. So I kind of have a question for yourself, and probably Sam can chip in, but the question being, with TV3 news gone and the cut TVNZ are having, and seemingly every paper now has got a paywall on it. I used to read The Guardian, and I think they get 20 free articles just to read about their rugby and cricket. But they've all set up paywalls now. Stuff seem to be going down that road now, saying please contribute. And so paywalls seem to be coming up there as well. You've got people like the NZRU who close ranks, and it's very hard to get anything out of them. So I guess for the average punter, I mean, I listen to you guys a lot to get my sports news, which is seemingly becoming the only avenue. But where do you guys get your, like, how do your journalists get the news from? Well, I guess that's my question. It just seems very harder and harder to get differing opinions on news, and that includes sports. Where's it all going? I don't know if that question makes any sense, but it just seems difficult now for us as the average punter to find out things unless we obviously tune into you guys. But obviously you've got to get your news from somewhere as well.
Yeah, Mikey, Sam here. It is absolutely a really fair question. And man, has it changed. Man, has it changed. Like, so, for example, when I started in 2001, working in a radio newsroom, I had a computer, you had the internet, but, you know, accessing people, you know, information was not coming out, you know, thick and fast. You need to be on the phones finding things out. Certainly there's no social media to get that information. You'll find that kind of progressed, and for me, in my period at least, that was through to the mid-2000s was kind of like the golden era where you had access to athletes, you had access to people, but you'd call and they'd answer, and they were grateful for, they understood, I should say, the point of coverage in most circumstances, and everyone was desperate to get an inch somewhere where if it wasn't the All Blacks or top level rugby, everyone was very happy to talk in those scenarios. Where things have developed to now, there's still abilities and access. It is about working contacts. It is about speaking to people in the know. But as far as accessing that information, Mikey, they're the same as you. They'll look through social media. They'll look for comments from clubs. They'll look through information that's come through those sources. Yes, there is so much behind paywalls now, and that is certainly frustrating. I imagine that newsrooms work with there is a subscription that the newsroom will use to make sure they get behind, can see where the stories are and whatnot. Certainly it does get discussed through circles within journalists about what's been discussed on other sites and what other journos are working on. It doesn't mean it's collaboration. It's just more of an understanding of what your peers are doing. Same thing with access internationally. Take a great example is if you wanted to know what was going on in Japan rugby and the League One a few years ago, say 10 years ago, good luck to you. You know, trying to find vision of what's going on, recent updates and things in English, but that's all been opened up. Journalism has become a little. And part of the problem too, right? It's not everything that Matt was saying about ethics and whatnot is one thing, but it's also become, and the reason it's become in the stage it is, has become a little cyclical, regurgitating information rather than journalists getting out there and finding stories. That's not a comment on News Hub. It's not a comment on shows losing their job, just journalism in general. So it's harder and harder to get access to athletes because athletes don't need you for that connection anymore. Athletes can do it themselves through social media, or they can control their narrative an awful lot more. Say if you see a player who gets in trouble for something, do you see him fronting the media? Not often. Not often at all. They control that. And that level of control has made journalism difficult. But yeah, paywalled stuff, we journalists got to pay, or the organisations that cover journalists got to pay for them too, Mikey.
Yep. No, all right. No, that's good. Well, you guys keep up the good work anyway, eh?
Cheers, Mikey. We appreciate your call this morning, but it is a very interesting subject. And Cliff wants to talk about it as well. Cliff, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Smitty.
Morning, Sam. The way I think to get information is to, well, basically follow guys or athletes or teams on the Facebook or whatever, and then you can get a gist of what's happening in that game. I think the news at night, I don't know who watches the sports news on the TV. It's pretty wishy-washy, and look, there's no depth to it. It's just a quick brush over, but if you don't listen to SENZ or follow stuff, that's how you find stuff out. Just like I follow the Premiership. My team's West Ham. I haven't actually done a lot lately checking up on the Championship. It's good to see Leeds and Leicester doing well, and hopefully they'll come up because they're old clubs. Well, Leicester's not as old, but they probably deserve to be up more than some of the teams like, Burnley and Sheffield that are going to go down. So that's good. Good to see. World sport is it's out there. You know, the old days, you have lots of reporters, lots of guys who had lots of knowledge. You know, you have the Keith Quinns, all these sort of guys. They could cover a lot of stuff. They knew their bits. You could send them to the Commonwealth Games, the Olympic Games. They weren't just rugby people. You know, some of them were experts in swimming, track and field, as well as their specialist other things. And I think we're losing a bit of those sort of period. I think a lot of the guys are getting dropped out of television, especially on the TV, for more a feminine look. I'm not being nasty towards them, but yeah, it looks to me a lot of it is a bit of eye candy. It certainly helps.
Well, I've got to say, personally, Smithy, on the eye candy front, it's certainly a lot more about diversity in that context too, because I can tell you I've worked in newsrooms with pretty much only males and only male perspectives. So it's important to have a range of perspectives along the way too. But a lot to mull over there, Smithy.
There is, actually. Thanks very much, Cliff. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a break. Conrad from Palmerston North, I think it's Palmerston North. It could be Palmerston. But Conrad, if you're happy to hold, we're happy to take a break now, and we'll be back shortly with you. Thank you. It is 9:50, and the most patient man in the world at the moment is Conrad from Palmy. Conrad, thanks for your time, and what do you want to have a crack at us with?
Oh, yeah, just to say about paywalls and stuff, I'm quite happy to pay for that kind of thing because I see it as higher quality information than, so for example, all newspapers, technically, you've got to pay for it somehow, right? I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you didn't have social media to get. So, you had to pay your $3 or $4 for your Evening Post to get your information. Otherwise, there's no other way of getting the information. So I'm quite happy to pay for it. The actual angle I'm taking at this is that in New Zealand, like here in Palmy, you've got local reporters that go to things like the stock cars or the cricket, the local cricket comp, and I just hope they keep up that kind of journalism, rather than generic across the country kind of. There's specific events, like a classic one is this recent motor racing in Te Apo. I know it costs money for them to send out journalists to these events, but I think it's important to keep that up and to get those actual pieces in the paper.
They're fighting, aren't they? They're fighting the internet, the local journos, the local scribes. They're good buggers too, because most of that was weekend work. Most of it was weekend work, and, they had to sacrifice other things. How conclusive? It's the Evening Standard, eh?
Right, here in Palmy is the Evening Standard. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So standard, how... Yeah. how How good is the sports coverage there these days, would you say?
I think it's excellent. I mean, it's one of the last bastions of, you know, the great thing about sports reporting is it's very factually based. You can get from it from there.
Yes.
So yeah, I do buy the paper quite a bit, and I love the sports section. I think here, Evening Post, they're still, I mean, I'm still, they're great. It's just they're fighting this internet mess, which I see overall as, you know, lower quality or random information. You know, you got to take the assumption that all information thrown at you is not at the same level of legitimacy. If you get it out of even just a local reporter or out of a newspaper, it's been fact-checked, all the rest of it, which is great. Whereas the second you get online, you just don't know. that's part of the point.
Back in the day when, you know, reporters used to go to game, whatever they wrote, you took as the gospel. You took as the absolute gospel. So if someone went and covered a club rugby game, you knew full well that that's exactly what happened. You just trust it. It's a bit like Judy Bailey, actually. If Judy Bailey said the grass was purple, I'd believe it. But back in those days, you're left just a little bit because it's not as conclusive as it used to be. It's very brief. It's a very brief outline. And you find yourself thinking to myself, well, I don't really know exactly what the gist of that game was. I know what the score was, and I hope that was what the score was, if you get my drift. Hey, Conrad, interesting subject that we won't put to bed either. By the by, I like it. We might continue this throughout the week and just source a little bit more of local journalism. It is 9:53. We have to take a break, and that doesn't change in radio.